Father Romano Gardini, a professor at the University of Berlin at the time, witnessed firsthand the rise of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, the destruction wrought by World War II, and the cultural and social aftermath. This is Dr. Jim Tomkiewicz, and you're listening to Wyoming Catholic College's weekly podcast, The After Dinner Scholar. Guardini wrote in 1957, "Men today find it difficult to comprehend the significance which cultural activities had during the earlier phases of modern life. Then, culture surged at full tide. It was the springtime of its being. It possessed an extravagant, inexhaustible fullness, an uncontrollable optimism for the future," close quote. But that fullness and optimism, he argued, died away in the smoke and ashes of war. He documented the changes in his book, The End of the Modern World. Dr. Thaddeus Kaczynski, academic dean at Wyoming Catholic College, spoke at the Wyoming School of Catholic Thought this June about Guardini's observations and how they relate to the future of Christianity and the Church. Guardini begins chapter 4 of his End of the Modern World talking about early modernity's optimism. Boldly, excitedly, he wrote, "Modern man took possession of the entire globe." Why was there early on such optimism, beginning with, say, Bacon and Descartes and on from there?
You had, obviously, the period called the Enlightenment, coming after the Renaissance, retrieval of ancient Greece and Rome, and a kind of sense with all the different political and cultural developments in commerce and a nation state, in the end of the wars of religion in Europe, a kind of settlement. And I mean, there's two ways to understand the optimism. One is from the people themselves, the kind of philosophes of the Enlightenment, the Descartes, the Voltaires, the Comtes who came later, the Kants of that Enlightenment period, John Locke, Hobbes, and the rest. They would say, with slightly different nuances in their interpretation, but they would say something like, man has come into his own. He has abandoned his servile dependence and obedience, deference to tradition, to the restrictions of Christian culture, morality, and spiritual horizons, and this sort of humanistic movement of man finally being able to think and act from within his own genius, his own particular, they would still say, God-given talents, God-given powers. That would be sort of the Enlightenment take on this. Guardini's take, of course, is quite different. Those who came after the Enlightenment, who recognized the sort of delusions and limits and hypocrisies and arrogance of such an attitude, would say that this was a mentality begotten by Christian culture, by the medieval and early Renaissance culture, in a sense, receiving and developing and bearing the fruits of a preceding culture, one replete with Christian devotion and authority and ecclesial and political cultural structures centered on God and the transcendent. When these were going into eclipse, the political, cultural, economic, artistic fruits of this foundation were still in effect and still growing. And so the real roots of any kind of true progress, true development in human beings, human culture, human personality are a result of what Jacques Maritain would call the Christian fructification, the fruits sowed in the world, in the West, in the Incarnation, developing through the Middle Ages, bearing full development or higher development. But the problem with the Enlightenment and modernity in general is to sort of have this collective amnesia or lack of full awareness of exactly what the capital that was they were reaping was built upon, and giving short shrift to these foundations, and thinking that this was sort of man's own accomplishment. And I think that's what you're getting with this optimism and sense of progress and that kind of thing.
But by 1957, when he wrote The End of the Modern World, He said, "We do not hold this doctrine anymore. On the contrary, we recognize with increasing clarity that the modern world deceived itself." How did that optimism go away, and how did we deceive ourselves?
Well, the short answer is the world wars, of course. The gulags, the concentration camps, the mass murders, and all the amazing, incredible amount of carnage and destruction that occurred precisely through the implementation of those ideologies that had abandoned the notion of the transcendent, or let's say replaced the traditional notion of the human person and the center of existence and transcendent with humanistic notions. And you have different iterations of this in the different 20th century ideologies. So there's a kind of inarguable facticity about the collapse of the sort of optimistic modern West. Still was existing in something like the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights that came after World War II, and the kind of post-World War II economic boom that was happening. You know, you had the different cultural TV shows that were optimistic in America and sort of 50s optimism. But not too far from the surface was this recognition that something badly had gone wrong. And what's interesting, Guardini's point here is that there was a recognition that we couldn't go back to that modern, enlightenment, progressive, optimistic, man, humanistic-centered mentality. That was sort of forever gone. And, you know, in an earlier podcast, we talked about the kind of postmodern mood. And this was beginning to settle in now in Western culture, especially within the elites of academia and media. This sense that we had entered into a new era, what Guardini calls the era of mass man. Not the individual genius who creates his own personality, man creating his great egalitarian and just culture, and a kind of nature that could be mined by human ingenuity and technology to benefit all men. All these three conceits in nature, personality, and culture were unmasked. And Guardini paints a rather dark picture of the ensuing age and mentality after this.
Well, and he talks a great deal about power and how our ability to use power has become demonic, or our ability to use power without having character to go along with it to teach us how to use it.
That's right. That's right. I'll just read a quote about this new man, he calls it, the one who comes post-enlightenment, post-modernity. He says, quote, "The new man has overcome the modern dogma. All things of themselves are for the best. For him, the optimism of the progress worshiper no longer exists. He knows from experience that left to themselves, things just as readily retrogress. He knows that the world is in the hands of freedom, hence he feels responsibility for tomorrow's kind of freedom. And love, his love of the world is very special, deepened by the precariousness, vulnerability, helplessness of his beloved. To his respect for power and greatness, his comfortable relationships to technology, and his will to utilize it, to the zest of looking danger in the eye, he adds another quality, chivalry, not to say tenderness, towards finite, oh-so-jeopardized existence." So there's a sense of an increase in man's responsibility for all the power he wields, and at the same time, a sense of its precariousness and fragility and tendency to go awry, even with man's best intentions. So this heightened awareness of the scope and intensity of man's ability, man's power, you know, collectively to affect changes, at the same time a sort of insecurity and fear about whether or not man himself can wield this power for the good. So no more, obviously, if we know something and discover something, we should use it to better mankind. You know, that sort of technological optimism is gone.
Guardini's concern is not simply the modern world, but the Christian in the modern world. And he says that the New Age will declare the secularized facets of Christianity are sentimentalities. This declaration will clear the air. The world to come will be filled with animosity and danger, but it will also be a world open and clean. Now, what does he mean by that? He seems to have an optimism about him.
Yeah, it's not simply a kind of ominous, prophetic nightmare scenario he's describing for us. It's a kind of double-edged sword, or a mixed bag, you might say. You know, on the one hand, there won't be as much confusion, he says, about what man can do, what man has done, what man will do when he's not in obedience to Christ, when he's in rejection of the transcendent, the mystery of life, when he relies upon his own strength, you know, let's say pure secularism, a kind of pure practical atheism. It's sort of, you know, harkens back to what Nietzsche would say, that, you know, all these benefits of culture that the enlightened last man, he calls it, admires and claims for his own, such as, you know, justice, mercy, kind of nonviolence, say, you know, the idea of individual rights and freedom, all these things, democracy, all these things Nietzsche recognized are a product of what he called the slave morality of Christianity. And once God is dead, once we have killed him, the world will be much more stark, cold, loveless, centered in power and individual power, collective power. The people will recognize that this is sort of the choice. Do we want a world like this, or do we want something else? And at that point, the Christian message, especially one that hasn't been compromised and, let's say, scared into submission, you know, the kind of Christianity that always defends itself by how progressive it is and how liberal it is, that's not going to be wanted or desired. People are going to want something real, existentially real, something that brings to them a power that is higher than the human power, something, a real taste of the mystery of God, of unconditional obedience and the supernatural. So in that sense, he says the air will be clear for a new evangelization, a new witness to this purified, let's say, more authentic, more bracing kind of Christianity. Let's say a radical Christianity. And I think what Guardini is really saying is that, as Rahner had said too during this era, that the Christian of the future will need to be a mystic, or he will not be at all, which is a famous quote from our Karl Rahner.
Now, one of the things that's been talked about lately is this whole idea of the Benedict option. Is that what Guardini is getting at, or would he object to that idea?
Well, I don't think Guardini would have any problem with an attempt to opt out of a decaying culture and to shore up as much as possible theistic Christian culture in small enclaves of like-minded devotees of tradition and the transcendent. But I think what Guardini would say is that that's only a beginning. And it may not be that that would be very possible in the coming age. And even if possible, it would not be an adequate response to what we're dealing with, and also to the kind of graces and that God is giving to the Christian churches. Let me just read a little bit of Guardini here. He says, "Love will disappear from the face of the public world, but the more precious will be that love that flows from one lonely person to another." And he says, "Perhaps love will achieve an intimacy and harmony never known to this day, one lonely person to another." And lastly, he says, "Nothing but the, quote, free union of the human person with the absolute through unconditional freedom will enable the faithful to stand firm, God-centered, even though placeless and unprotected," end quote. So I emphasize that. He says, "even though placeless and unprotected." So what Guardini is saying is that we may have to accept that the way we're going to live our Christian faith is in some sense going to have to be placeless and unprotected. And that doesn't sound to me something that the Benedict option would be comfortable with. But I think the grace that that God is willing to give us to become these kind of everyday mystics in the world is there. I think if Guardini is right, the situation is not to be seen as a curse, but a gift. God will give each one of us who ask of it the grace to endure this darkness, barbarism, the loss of our customary, sensible, and cultural signs of God's love and presence. And I think that's something that you know, Guardini has to teach us, as well as Karl Rahner, about this call to mysticism that perhaps wouldn't be so evident and bracing if we didn't realize as much as we do now what we're up against and the kind of Christian life and witness and practice of God's presence, the kind of intimate communion with the all-powerful God, and no substitutes. You know, one of the things about modernity, for Guardini, was it was substituting for God, for the church, for the sacraments, for the spiritual life, secular human kind of tools and means to find some way out of our exile, to find some sense of salvation and peace. But human-centered culture, human-centered personality, and a kind of human-dominated nature is no longer seen as the solution. And this is what the postmodern mass man culture of Guardini is telling us has discovered. And so what is going to do it? What kind of Christianity do we have to practice? What kind of Christians do we have to be in the face of this world we're in? And I think reading Guardini, his prophetic words, especially from the end of the modern world, we can discuss and try to unpack the wisdom in what he's saying and see if we can respond to it.
Well, this has been very helpful, I think, in terms of our modern situation. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
There is, of course, a great deal more that can be said about our culture, the future, and the Christian's place in the world today. If you'd like more, Dr. Kaczynski's entire lecture, Guardini in the Modern World, is available as a podcast. We hope you're benefiting from the After Dinner Scholar interviews and lectures, and if you are, why not mention it to a friend or two to help us get the word out? For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.